Tonight we're back in the book of Revelations, Revelations chapter 15 tonight. As you go through all this information that we find in the book of Revelation, it can cause some anxiety to rise up if we let it. We can get hooked on the questions of some of the where and what and who of Revelation. Who is the beast? When's he going to come? Are we going to suffer in any way? And perhaps it's natural for us in a country of relative freedom where to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's pretty smooth living. And sometimes it can be natural, I think, to wonder when and how these things will happen and as described in the book of Revelation. But as we think about the time when this book was written by John there on the Isle of Patmos, the Christians who first read the book of Revelation, if you think about the time slot when it was written, and even for some Christians today, some of Revelation's events would have seemed like present day reality to them. Remember that John was himself an exile on the Isle of Patmos as God revealed to him these visions and the book of Revelation to him. He'd been exiled there. And the whole church at that time was under siege, as it were. Persecution was in full swing. It was a dangerous thing to be a Christian in that time. It was only some years before that Nero burned Christians in Rome, tied to poles as city lights of Rome. The Apostle Paul had been put to death, most likely in Rome as well. In fact, it's thought that John was the sole remaining original apostle at this time when he was revealed, God gave him the book of Revelation. Most of the rest of his fellow apostles had been mostly martyred for their faith. So when the book of Revelation was written, there was no picnic to be a Christian in that time period. To the persecuted Christians of that day, their future seemed bleak and uncertain. The persecutions were relentless. And perhaps the cause of Christ could have seemed like a losing campaign. And the book of Revelation was given to them to rekindle their hope that all was not in vain, that truth and right would triumph, that Christ indeed was the victor, and the day of freedom from their oppressors was on the horizon. And Christ guaranteed that with his work on the cross, of course. That victory over sin, death, and hell that he obtained on the cross, and as he rose from the dead victorious. And the book of Revelation is intended to invigorate us. It's supposed to encourage us. It's to give us hope and heart, especially to those who are suffering trials and hardships for Christ's sake. You know, as you go through the book of Revelation, John was told in chapter 1 to fear not. In chapter 2, he is told to fear none of these things. In chapter 5, he is told to weep not. And why was John told these things? He was being reminded that he already knew who was going to have the victory. He knew who the winner was, and that is the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have been delivered from the land of worry and anxiety about hardship and perhaps even our safety. We've been delivered into the care of our Saviour, the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's had the victory. He's already had the victory over Satan and all his host. And Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's the point, he's the focus. He's the main focus. And if anxiety, worry, and fear bubbles up in us as we think about the end times or really the current times as we think about it, we shouldn't allow ourselves to become consumed by our need to know precisely what will happen, when it will happen, and how will it affect me. We're missing the point, really, if we start to focus on that. And if you think about it practically, what about if us here in Australia, What if we ever faced that persecution and hardship because of our faith that some of our fellow Christians in other parts of the world are already facing on a daily basis? What if we lose the freedoms we enjoy to worship our God, like a right to assemble and speak and worship in freedom? What if we were to face severe penalties for living and speaking our faith? And the what ifs can compound if you start looking around in the world around us. What if our economy collapses? What if petrol prices double? What if inflation soars? What if housing prices never come down? What if the stock market crashes? What if that person becomes Prime Minister? What if the Russian-Ukraine war spreads around the other parts of the world? You could go on and on with all the what ifs that you can come up with. What if my health falls apart? What if my kids wander? What if, what if, what if? But we have to remember we've been delivered from the land of worry about any hardship, any cause of the fear of the unknown, any anxiety. We've been delivered into the care of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And I'll show you tonight some of the hope and deliverance that is contained in the book of Revelation. And if you have your Bibles open to Revelation chapter 15, and I just want to read the first four verses of this short chapter. There's only eight verses in this chapter 15. If we just begin tonight and read the first four verses. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvellous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvellous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. When I first read this passage, the first thing that jumped out at me was the fact that there in verse 3, we have these tribulation saints singing the song of Moses. The song of Moses. How did Moses turn up here in the book of Revelation? Doesn't he belong in Exodus and the first books of the Bible? How does the song of Moses turn up here in the book of Revelation and in heaven, in this sight that John saw? We see there in verse 1, he saw another sign in heaven. He saw a vision of something happening in heaven, and he sees these tribulation saints singing the song of Moses. How did Moses get here? How did the song of Moses end up in the book of Revelation in heaven, being sung in heaven? You know, Moses, when you think about the man Moses, many don't realise this, but he was a songwriter. He wrote some songs. And we know that he is given the honour of having written the first five books of our Bible that we have today, the first five books, the Torah, as the Jews called it. But this wasn't all that Moses wrote. And as you go through Scripture, you find more than one song that Moses wrote. I don't know if you ever noticed, but Psalm 90 was written by Moses, another song of Moses, a psalm of Moses. But how does Moses fit here in Revelation chapter 15? How does his song fit into Revelation? Why are these tribulation saints here? Why are they singing the song of Moses? And I think if we can sum this up in two words, deliverance and praise. Deliverance and praise. And if you think about this song of Moses, and we find this song of Moses in, ironically, in Exodus chapter 15, same chapter number, we find the original song of Moses. And I'm sure we know the story. It's Moses celebrating the hand of God having delivered the Hebrew children from the hand of the Egyptian Pharaoh. The children of Israel had left the land of Egypt, and after those 10 plagues, and finally that Pharaoh said they can go. But we know the story, that hard-hearted Pharaoh suddenly had second thoughts. He still had those major building projects to be completed, and suddenly he had no slaves to make him bricks. So old